Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
When I look around my campus, I see the faces of the women affected by this lack of contraceptive coverage.
If she's really concerned about the rights of privacy, she should keep her private sexual business to herself and pay for it herself.
Have we become a country where it's okay to go to church on Sunday morning for 1 hour, but let's not actually express those beliefs the rest of the week?
If you really hold to sola scriptura, you're going to hold to solus Christus, meaning all theology is Christology.
Organists in Indiana love Issues Etc.
The old saying, of course, is that there is no free lunch, and that's proven true in life. The story of the HHS mandate appears to be about free contraception. That's the media template that we have seen imposed upon this story that is not going away anytime soon. It's political football. Is it about free contraception, or is it about freedom of conscience? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's the 9th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us here in the first few minutes to talk about media coverage of the HHS contraception mandate. Also, her thoughts on Harold Camping's recent apology for his failed predictions of last year of the end of the world. Pastor Anthony Voltaturne will join us after that. We'll talk about crucifixes, whether or not Christians say something when they display a crucifix essential to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A little bit later, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your chance to vote for one of our soundbites and make it this week's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Or call in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, or you can vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me here.
Before we get to the HHS story, I wanted to ask you about something that was, I think, in the top 10 religion stories last year, Harold Camping's failed prediction of the end of the world. And I got to wonder why it is that his apology and his retraction lately has not made the press the way the original story did last year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was a huge story last year. There were actually two dates. There was the Judgment Day of May 21st, and then the end of the world was going to be October 21st. As you may have heard, neither of those things happened. And it was huge news. There was a survey of religion writers. They put it at number 7 on a top 10 list. And then this week he comes out and says, I've sinned. I was incorrect. It was wrong for me to say these things. He explains that scripture did not support what he was doing, and it has not gotten the same play. And I think, it was a really fun story, and it was very easy to be smug and make fun of, point over at those people and make fun of them last year. And having someone admit that they're a sinner, that just does not play in the media these days. And so you're just seeing a much lighter coverage. I don't think people really know how to deal with someone saying that they were sinful, and it's not as fun of a story to cover now.
Another note on that real quickly, you say that they're still not actually getting the old story straight when they report on it today.
Yeah, for being one of the biggest stories in religion news last year, it's amazing how poorly it was covered. Now, if you follow these people at all, they were very clear that Judgment Day would be May 21st, and that would be the Day of Judgment, and then the end of the world would be October 21st. And people just did not get that. They thought that he set the end of the world for May 21st, and then when that didn't come, he moved the date to October. In fact, he always had those two dates, and they were always for separate events in his mind. And so even when there has been this limited coverage of his apology and his for being wrong on this, people are still messing that up. So it just shows you that it's hard to get the details right when you're covering religion news.
Also in religion news, the HHS mandate story doesn't go away, but it also doesn't seem to be entirely accurate. In fact, I mean, to me, it seems like it's a, I don't want to use the word without some caution, deliberate misrepresentation of what this mandate is about for religious institutions and religious people in the United States.
Well, that's actually exactly the phrase that a female editor used with me earlier this week, that she felt it was deliberate misrepresentation of the story. Now, it's fair to say that one side of this issue does think that this is a battle of a war on women. That's how the head of the Democratic Party has put it. She says, there's a war on women about this, and they say it's a war on contraception. And that is a Democratic talking point, and that is a very valid side to present, of course. But what is missing in all this coverage is that there is a huge swath of religious people and religious liberty advocates who say that this is an infringement on religious liberty. And that is a story that has been not getting out at all, even though that's sort of the main story. This was not something that the Catholic Church did or any other religious group did. This is something that the HHS did to religious institutions. Unprovoked, they just came out with a new ruling that for the first time ever, Catholic organizations and other religious organizations would have to start funding things that goes against their doctrine. That's the act of aggression, and that's what is really the prime driver of this story. When that HHS mandate came out, they didn't cover it. When bishops started objecting loudly, they didn't really cover it, and a lot of people did not cover it well. And it just has been a battle, even when you have the heads of major religious groups testifying before Congress that they're concerned about this, even if it doesn't affect them in particular. That has been downplayed and subverted to this story of war on women. And that is, it's just chilling to think about how difficult it has been to get the other side of the story out here. And even if you look at last week, Cardinal Dolan released this scathing letter saying that the White House had engaged in some pretty nefarious political shenanigans. It didn't get any coverage at all in the New York Times or the Washington Post. And only when the White House responded by saying, oh, no, he's wrong, well, then people covered that White House response. So it's just not been a good few weeks in media coverage on this issue.
Well, and the person's face I'm seeing on television when I watch quietly with the sound down at the gym is not Cardinal Dolan's face, it's Rush Limbaugh's. What's going on?
Right. Well, I don't know how that became such a big story at the expense of the story on religious liberty. It was a way of personalizing this framing of the war on women, because Rush Limbaugh, who's an incendiary radio host, used incendiary language to talk about this HHS mandate. All the media coverage just covered that and that alone. And it's very interesting that what Cardinal Dolan said isn't as important to them as what a radio talk show host said. I mean, I think that what the Constitution says is more important than what a radio talk show host says. And I think that it would be an easy news decision to think that the way the White House is treating religious liberty advocates is more important than the way Rush Limbaugh is talking about something on the radio. But most media outlets disagreed.
Okay. In spite of the deliberate misrepresentation of the issues, or we could say the failure to cover all the issues that are involved here in the HHS mandate as they should be, a political question. The White House goes about its business. Election day looms ever closer. They seem to have a tin ear, especially with regard to the Roman Catholic response to this and outrage over this. Are they making a bed they might not want to lie in November?
I don't know. I mean, I think actually this was a very savvy move aided and abetted by the media. They need the votes of single women in order to win this election in November, and this was obviously an attempt to get those votes, and I think it could work out very well for them. I do find it interesting, though, that in the race in Massachusetts for the Senate, which has dealt quite a bit with the issues of religious liberty and contraceptive coverage, I read in the Boston Globe this week something about how Scott Brown is surprisingly, Scott Brown is the candidate who supports the religious liberty side, and he's running against Elizabeth Warren, who supports the contraceptive mandate side. And she's supposed to be beating him handily, and it appears that she's not. And the Boston Globe wrote that the stance he'd taken on social issues was benefiting him. So despite what you hear in the media, there might be actually, even though you're not hearing the side of the religious liberty advocates in the media, it doesn't mean that they don't exist, and it doesn't mean that the message isn't still getting out to them. It's just not getting out to them via the news media.
So when we read, and we do, in headline, story after story, that this is about free contraception, what does the informed reader need to know?
Well, I just think that that is a misnomer. My background is actually in economics and not in journalism. So one of the things we always learn is that there's no such thing as a free lunch. And you have to think about who's paying for this. Obviously, someone is paying for this. And in fact, the costs would, for a variety of reasons, probably go up for insurance companies covering this. Having to cover this mandate. So first of all, the cost is borne by all the employees who will have whatever increased costs are being borne by the employer passed on to them either in pay cuts or otherwise. And there are other issues too. I mean, the having more federal control over this and removing the market another step means that you're going to see a huge increase in the competition for more expensive contraceptives, basically. And so it will, there's just a lot that's not being covered when you phrase it as free contraception. It's not a good way to phrase what's actually happening there.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a reporter in Washington, D.C., and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Molly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about something that, well, sad to say, has disappeared from many a church, a symbol that has its long history in the church, symbol that is unmistakable. That's what I love about the crucifix. There's just absolutely no way of mistaking what's going on there. There's a man hanging dead on a cross. Who's the man? It's Jesus. Why is he hanging there? Well, that's what the crucifix confesses. He's hanging there for you. When we come back, we'll talk about crucifixes with Pastor Anthony Voltatorne. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.